Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Last time on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13. These verses contain several important keys to unlock the power of prevailing prayer. The first key we looked at was the appreciation of need, or the knowledge of our need. If we don't realize we have a need, then we won't ask God or anyone else for help. Sometimes we think our needs are too great, and maybe other times we think they're too small and God wouldn't be interested in them. Or sometimes we're embarrassed to share our needs. We're afraid someone will ridicule us or laugh at our concerns. So our shame prevents us from finding the help we need. So we just try to muddle on through and hope things will change for the better. But God wants us to ask Him to meet our needs, and we don't need to have any embarrassment. Now, let's return to our study, The Power of Prevailing Prayer, from Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13. As we pick up our study, let me read the text. And Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Knowing what we know about the circumstances, we'd say the man who needed bread was in a no-win situation. So what did he do? He chose the lesser of two evils. He went to his friend at midnight. His need to provide hospitality to honor his guest outweighed his need to be liked by his neighbor. So he approaches the neighbor with his request. The neighbor's response, I would say, is somewhat predictable. After all, how would you like to be rudely awakened at midnight by someone pounding on your door and asking for bread? The neighbor is surrounded by his sleeping family, so he tries to respond in muffled tones so as not to awaken them all. And the sense of his reply is, if you'll permit me to paraphrase, Stop furnishing troubles to me. The door is now shut and locked. My family is all asleep with me in the same room. I am unwilling to rise and give you what you want. Now, the main character of Jesus' story has a choice to make. Should he go back to his house and explain his predicament to his guest? Or should he keep on knocking? Jesus continues with the story. Though he, that's the aroused neighbor, will not get out of bed and give anything to his friend because of their friendship, yet because of his shamelessness in the face of denial, he will arise and give him whatever he needs. Now, maybe you've never heard the word shameless used in connection with this story. The King James Version uses the word importunity. I read it when I read the text. Most other translations use the word persistence. But according to my study, and Greek scholars who know a lot more about the language than I do, that word, importunity, doesn't capture the meaning of the original. It literally means without shame. The English Standard Version comes closest by using the word impudence. The competing values of honor and shame functioned in the life of the sleepy neighbor, too. He had a desire to avoid shame in the eyes of the knocking host, and probably in the eyes of all his neighbors, once his inhospitable behavior would become known. So he got up, and he gave his neighbor bread. He didn't want to be shamed by his neighbor's shamelessness. This story reminds me of Abraham's prayer in Genesis chapter 18. Do you remember how he interceded with God for the deliverance of Sodom? His concern for Lot and the inhabitants of Sodom overrode his sense of propriety. And in Matthew 15, the woman of Cana came to Jesus, crying out for the deliverance of her daughter from demonic spirits. First, she was ignored. Then she was ridiculed. And finally, she was slandered. And yet she persisted until her great need was met. She did not let the shame heaped on her keep her from having her request honored. Now, what does all that have to do with being a key to the power of prevailing prayer? While our sense of honor and shame may be different from the characters of this story, it does play a role in our lives. There are certain things we will not do unless the magnitude of our need overrides our understanding of what is proper. Have you ever felt embarrassed to ask God to meet a particular need? Were you ever too embarrassed to ask fellow believers to pray with you about a situation in your life? If so, what was the cause of the embarrassment? Perhaps you felt the need was too great, or perhaps too small, even insignificant. Or perhaps you were ashamed to admit a personal struggle with sin, or to admit conflicts with another person. So you said nothing about it. And as a result, nothing changed. Your embarrassment, your shame, prevented you from finding the help you needed from God and from fellow believers. My friend, the first key to experience the power of prevailing prayer is to have an understanding and appreciation for the depth of your need. To this man in our story, the honor of being a proper host was outweighed by the shame of disturbing his neighbor at midnight. And in the context, this man was illustrating Jesus' instruction of praying for our daily bread. But you know, too often, you and I don't truly appreciate the reality of our need. We somehow imagine that we have what it takes to meet our own needs and even the needs of other people. So we lack a spirit of dependence. Instead, we exhibit a spirit of independence, and we often take credit to ourselves that rightly belongs to God. So is it any wonder that our prayers may seem powerless? Do you appreciate it when someone else gets the credit for what you've done? I'm sure God doesn't either. The man in Jesus' story had a pressing need he knew he could not meet. It was imperative that he find something to give to his guest. So he was willing to experience shame in the eyes of his neighbor in order to secure the resources that were needed to honor his guest. Are you and I willing to do the same? Are we willing to humble ourselves and entreat the Lord for ourselves and for others? If not, we will not experience the power of prevailing prayer. The second key to prevailing prayer is the stipulation of request. A stipulation is a requirement or a condition that needs to be met in order to achieve a desired result. To experience the power of prevailing prayer, we must learn the proper way to make our requests. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus makes several very clear, unambiguous statements. He said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." You know, those are amazing promises. I note that in verse 9, the words ask, seek, and knock are all imperatives. They are given as commands. Are they simply repetitions of the same idea or concept? Do they imply that God is hard of hearing? Well, you and I know better than that. In response to these commands, one writer noted, "We ask for what we wish, we seek for what we miss, and we knock for that from which we feel ourselves shut out." Do you see the logical progression of desire and effort in verse 9? Asking for something we wish to have takes only the minimal effort of the voice. Yet James reminds us that we often don't receive because we don't ask, or because we ask selfishly for the wrong things. You'll find that in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Seeking what we are missing involves our vision and mobility. It demonstrates an increasing intensity of desire. The writer of Proverbs wrote regarding wisdom, "If you seek her as silver, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And Jesus told the story of the lost coin and the diligent search that retrieved it. He also told his followers to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.